Hello and welcome to The Late Debate with me, Audrey Carvel. Coming up...
I wish to announce for the information of the House that I'm advising the President to accept the resignation of Deputy Alan Shatter as a member of the government. The Minister's decision to resign follows the receipt of the report of Mr. Sean Gearan SC and a review of action taken by An Garda Síochána. The report is critical of the inadequacy of the actions taken by a number of agencies and the Minister for Justice.
Alan Shatter has quit government. Our late debate after the news from Eileen Whelan.
Good evening. Alan Shatter's successor as Minister for Justice is expected to be announced tomorrow. The government chief whip, Paul Keogh, has told the Dáil the nomination of a government minister will take place in the House following ministers' questions. Earlier, the Taoiseach told the Dáil that Mr. Shatter had stepped down following receipt of the report of the senior counsel, Sean Gearan, into allegations made by the Garda whistleblower, Sergeant Maurice McCabe, of a systematic failure to properly investigate a series of cases. Enda Kenny said the report was critical of Mr. Shatter for the way he discharged his statutory duties in relation to some of the issues. The President of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, has said he expects the Department of Finance to consult with the ECB over the possible release to the Oireachtas Banking Inquiry of a letter sent to Brian Lenihan in November 2010. The letter, which details the ECB's objections to the Irish state imposing losses on bank bondholders, which the state had previously guaranteed, has been a source of political controversy. Mr. Draghi says the bank will not release the letter itself because it has ongoing concerns about financial stability risks in Ireland. The former US diplomat Dr. Richard Haass is to meet the Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore in Dublin later this month for talks on the latest developments in Northern Ireland. Dr. Haass chaired all-party talks in the North last year on flags, parades and the legacy of the Troubles. He'll meet Mr. Gilmore on the 23rd of May. The Assistant Chief Constable of the PSNI, Drew Harris, has said that 95 of the Republicans who received letters assuring them they were not wanted by British police were linked to investigations into the murders of almost 300 people. Mr. Harris was speaking to British MPs at a Westminster inquiry into the issue of so-called on-the-run Republicans. Gardaí seized heroin with an estimated street value of €900,000 and arrested two men in an operation in southwest Dublin this morning. The men, aged in their 30s and 40s, are being held at Clondalkin Garda Station. They were arrested in Newcastle shortly before noon as part of an operation targeting an organised criminal gang. The weather forecast, breezy with scattered showers, outbreaks of rain in the west and southwest becoming more widespread tonight with hill and coastal fog. Lowest temperature 6 to 10 degrees. Cloudy at first tomorrow with outbreaks of rain, turning brighter and drier as the day goes on with sunny spells and a few scattered showers. Highest temperatures 13 to 17 degrees. And that's all for now. News again at 11 o'clock. But now back to the late debate.
Eileen, thank you very much indeed and you're very welcome back to the programme. Well, what a dramatic afternoon. Just after half past four in the Dáil, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny got to his feet.
I wish to announce for the information of the House that I'm advising the President to accept the resignation of Deputy Alan Shatter as a member of the Government. I've accepted the Minister's resignation with regret. I'd like to thank him for his service to the Government and to the country. He has been rightly recognised as an exceptionally hard-working, radical and reforming Minister. He's left a positive legacy for all the people of this country in a wide range of areas for which he has had ministerial responsibility. His work on family law, on the issue of children, on those who died in the care of the state, institutional abuse, Magdalene women, penal reform will undoubtedly stand the test of time. The Minister's decision to resign follows the receipt of the report of Mr. Sean Gearan SC and a review of action taken by An Garda Síochána pertaining to certain allegations made by Sergeant Maurice McCabe. I received Mr. Gearan's report last evening. The Minister and I have considered its contents during today. Mr. Gearan has raised some legal issues that need to be addressed in advance of the publication of the report. These are currently being considered by the Attorney General. However, I can advise the House that the report is critical of the inadequacy of the actions taken by a number of agencies, notably An Garda Síochána, but also including the Department of Justice and Equality and the Minister for Justice, in responding to the allegations made by Sergeant McCabe. In that context, the Minister has accepted responsibility, taken the course of tendering his resignation. It is my intention that the Gearan report will be published on Friday morning. The reason for the delay is the letter accompanying the report from the senior counsel recommended that certain matters be attended to in terms of privacy, sub judice, and so on, account corda. The government will consider its response next week, and there will be an opportunity for it to be debated in the House.
Thank you. I move on to leaders' questions. So I call on Deputy Micheál Martin in relation to leaders' questions.
First of all, I just want to say, Taoiseach, that I would have appreciated some consultation on that issue, given that the Geirdan report followed presentation of issues to you by me in this chamber relating to very serious issues that merited further investigation, and you in good faith appointed a senior counsel to examine that. Now, I'm at a loss here in the sense that I don't have any possession, obviously, of the conclusion or of the report of Mr. Geirdan, but I would have thought it would have been appropriate that we would have been consulted in relation to the content and import of that report, given that it has led to the resignation of the minister.
Sorry, we can deal with that later. Thank you.
This is leaders' questions.
Oh, it's a question, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I had questions originally for Minister Shatter in relation to the Data Protection Act, but obviously that's not. That's not the point. Something very urgent has been and very profound has been raised by the Taoiseach by way of an information statement.
It's quite fine if you're leading.
And no opportunity has been given to the members of the opposition even to respond to that. And I understand perhaps there are reasons for that. But what I want to put to the Taoiseach is, can he outline to the House the nature of the conclusions of Mr. Geirdan's report that has led to Minister Shatter's resignation?
Taoiseach.
Yes, I've received a letter from the Minister for Justice setting out the background to this and his reasons for making the decision that he has made himself. And I have to say the Minister has made his decision with a great degree of dignity. This is not a case of a minister having been involved in anything underhand or being involved in anything illegal or being involved in any scams of any description. I wish to point out that GSOC did not cooperate with Mr. Geirdan. I wish to point out that Mr. Geirdan did not speak to Minister Shatter. I wish to point out that the report recommends that there be a comprehensive commission of investigation into the matters that were raised as the subject of the issues from Sergeant McCabe. The report points out the inadequate response of the Minister under his statutory function and statutory responsibilities for independent investigation and analysis of these matters. And it's in that respect that the Minister for Justice feels that it's his duty to resign from his responsibilities, and on that respect only.
Deputy Adams. This resignation, Taoiseach, comes as we await the outcome of separate investigations into the bugging controversy at GSOC and the claims of Garda malpractice by whistleblowers. And it follows a period in which Alan Shatter's judgment on a whole range of serious policing and justice issues has undermined public confidence. But Taoiseach, he wasn't in it on his own. You supported him. The Taoiseach supported him. You resisted very robustly and rubbished efforts by Sinn Féin, by our justice spokesperson. Sensible suggestion to deal with these matters independently of the minister in a transparent and an appropriate way. He did defame the two Garda whistleblowers. He did mislead the Dáil. So Taoiseach, could you tell me if you expect other resignations? And could you tell me if you sought the minister's resignation?
The answer to both questions is no.
Deputy Daly, please. Thank you.
Taoiseach, I'd imagine you would agree that it's not the time you get out of bed at that's important, it's what you do with that time. Now, we've obviously been caught somewhat unawares by your announcement here this afternoon, given the unequivocal backing that you personally, the Taoiseach personally, and every one of your government team has given consistently throughout every scandal that Minister Shatter has been involved in. And not least, the announcement over the weekend that he was guilty of a breach of law. First time in our history that a sitting minister was deemed to be guilty of breaking the law. And not just any minister, but a minister in the department who was charged with responsibility for overseeing and enforcing that data protection legislation. And you and your ministerial team, including Minister Varadkar, not later than this morning, sought to dismiss and rubbish the findings of the Data Protection Commissioner, even though it's a well-established precedent in every jurisdiction that where a minister is found guilty of illegality or indeed lying to Parliament, that immediate resignation, to be honest, is the norm. So while not bearing any personal grudge against Minister Shatter, I would say that everybody on this side of the House is only amazed that it has probably taken this long, because in other jurisdictions he would have been long gone. And we say that particularly given the crises that he has weathered over the past 18 months. And let's remember that Maurice McCabe, who's had to last week put in a complaint about bullying that he is experiencing by members of the force at the moment, has been campaigning on these issues for 5 years. And the report, which is so damning, issued by Justice Geeran, is based on allegations that he submitted to the Garda authorities, personally to the Assistant Commissioner, who today applied to be Chief Constable of the PSNI, ironically enough. We were told, and he was told by Minister Shatter, there was no case to answer, that those matters had been investigated. Now, my questions to you are as follows. You've made a point a couple of times about GSOC not cooperating with the Geeran inquiry. What do you mean by that? GSOC have been at the butt of an undermining campaign by the former minister on numerous occasions. I'm aware that the former Garda commissioner approached the Garda organisations and asked them to issue public statements of no confidence in GSOC at the time of the bugging applications. Now, what is the implication of your remarks that they didn't cooperate? Because this is the body charged with Garda accountability. You, do you accept now that we need a root and branch review of the entire operation of Garda Síochána?
Well, as I said to you, when I say that GSOC did not cooperate with the senior counsel, GSOC expressed difficulties in respect of furnishing documentation to him. Clearly, Deputy Shatter, as Minister for Justice, pointed out on many occasions the inadequacies, as he saw them, both of the then confidential recipient structure and the structure of GSOC itself. And if a properly functioning GSOC were able to follow through on complaints made to it, perhaps this particular report might not have been necessary at all. It would be my view that when the government consider the terms of reference for the Commission of Investigation, which Mr. Geeran has recommended, that the question of the adequacy of investigation by GSOC should be considered as part of the terms of reference. We also have, as you're aware, Commission of Investigation into other matters insofar as the Garda Síochána are concerned by Justice Fennelly, and that matter is underway.
And that was how Enda Kenny announced that Alan Shatter was no longer Minister for Justice, and the responses to that announcement in the Dáil this afternoon. Well, with me in studio tonight are John Mooney, security correspondent with the Sunday Times, Sean Fleming of Fianna Fáil. Fine Gael wouldn't put anyone forward for tonight's programme. We're joined on the line from Sligo by Labour Senator Susan O'Keefe, and we will be joined by Mick Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner, and John Wilson, retired Garda and one of the Garda whistleblowers, when they are both finished on prime time in the next 10 minutes or so. Susan O'Keefe, first of all, Labour's position in relation to Alan Shatter and how your party backed him to the hilt over the last number of months has been completely exposed as ridiculous now.
I think there are many, many people in the Labour Party who took the view that Alan Shatter was a reforming minister and had worked hard. And I certainly for myself know that I had said I wanted to see the whole story, that I was very concerned, that I was very concerned about a lot of the issues that had been raised. Indeed, I was on your programme and others talking about that. And if you like, we have seen a very, I think, a very prompt response from the Taoiseach and from Sean Geeran, Justice Sean Geeran. That report came very quickly and the minister has resigned immediately. It's not perfect. Perhaps he should have resigned at an earlier stage. But of course, the criticism is always levelled at people when they resign, that they're running away, that they won't stand, that they're hiding something. You kind of, whenever you resign, you're always caught. But anyway, I take the view that there were people who would like to have seen some of the work that the Justice Minister was carrying out carry on, and that that was part of the reluctance. And of course, there's always a reluctance in any government, in a coalition particularly, let's be honest, to see a minister leave the government.
Yes, but the position of both Labour and Fine Gael, colleagues of Alan Shatter, all along was essentially There's nothing to see here. There is nothing wrong here. Alan Shatter is and has fulfilled his job with confidence, and we fully back him.
Well, I suppose if that were indeed the view all the way through, there would have been no reviews, there would have been no inquiries of any description, there would have been no commitment on the part of government to an independent policing authority. None of those things would have occurred.
You all voted confidence in him, but, Susan.
Well, I didn't have that opportunity. As a senator, that doesn't occur in the Senate. My point is, though, that if everybody was saying there's nothing to see here, as you've posited and others have said, there would have been no investigations. There would have been no Cook report as it's pending. There would have been no Geeran report. There would have been no Taoiseach saying, I'm looking into this.
You were forced. He was forced into those positions, Susan.
Would still be in place.
He was forced into those positions. I mean, the pressure was building and building and building. And yet, only a matter of 24 hours ago, Eamon Gilmore, Leo Varadkar were giving Alan Shatter their full support.
Well, I think we are in a position here where we have seen that you can have scrutiny of activities where there are queries. And I welcome that because I think there's not often enough scrutiny of activity. And we have seen now that you can appoint somebody independent and they can return with an independent report that says, I see there has been a poor response on the part of the department, on the part of the guards and on the part of the minister. And that is, we obviously haven't seen the substance of the report. I believe it's due on Friday. But anyway, that's our understanding from the Taoiseach's words today. And that the minister has said, OK, I see that that's the case and I am resigning. So where the scrutiny part is very important. And in a democracy that is maturing, there always ought to be the place for scrutiny. And that's what we have seen now. I mean, I remember, of course, as somebody very clearly remembering about inquiries and tribunals of inquiry, how difficult they can be and how sometimes they have not produced results. And here we have somebody who went away and examined it and said, this wasn't good enough, if you like, in layman's terms, this wasn't good enough.
But why on earth would Alan Shatter, why would Alan Shatter, someone of his calibre in legal terms, why would he need a senior counsel to tell him that how he had handled very serious allegations against An Garda Síochána was completely inadequate?
Well, I really, you know, that probably is a question that only Alan Shatter can answer. You know, what happened here was that the mistakes were clearly made, and I'm not going to deny that at all. Why would I? Mistakes were made perhaps in many other areas, we don't know. But the point is that the government saw fit to say, we need to clarify here, we need to investigate.
While at the same time giving Alan Shatter their full support, he had your full confidence. There was no need for him to resign.
Well, you can, unfortunately, you can express your confidence in somebody while you're waiting for something to happen, because they still remain de facto, they are the Minister for Justice as each day passes. You know that you have sent out, if you like, for the scrutiny and for the reports to come back to you. But in the meantime, if your minister is there as the Minister for Justice, and the law of the land, if you like, has to prevail, what are you to do?
But you were all wrong. You were all wrong. And therefore, you all have no credibility left.
Well, you see, Audrey, I actually don't accept that. I believe that that the right thing has been done by asking for the scrutiny to occur. And I hope that this is the first step, and I think I issued a statement to that effect, that this is the first step in a process where many, many questions, indeed Claire Daly was saying there and others have said all for the last number of hours clearly, many questions, enormous questions remain to be answered about the substance of the allegations made by the whistleblowers, about the way they were treated by various people, about the way in which, you know, we don't have an independent policing police force, and so on. There are so many questions that stem from this, but we are now on that path quite clearly, and that is where we should be looking now as to how we ought to handle this in the future and how whistleblowers in the future, and God knows there have been some in the past and they've been treated abominably. I don't, I hope that this is a genuine turning point, that the resignation of a senior minister who is seen to have made mistakes, who has been stated in a report to have not done what he ought to have done, and who has said, I am leaving, that this will be a turning point for many other things, not least the way in which we treat whistleblowers.
John Mooney, John, you're puzzled by Alan Shatter's resignation. Why?
I'm very reluctant to believe anything that I'm being told about these matters, because none of it makes sense. And you can't forget the events that have preceded this and what's been happening, really, since Alan Shatter came to power. And if I can just maybe take you through the various controversies, you had the Garda collusion matter with Kieran Boylan, where Garda were colluding with drug trafficker. Alan Shatter got a huge report on that, took no action on it. The Labour Party and Fine Gael supported him in that. Anyone who's the remotest in knowledge of that particular affair would have been left absolutely stunned. And hence there was a feeling developed of confidence in Garda headquarters that you could do whatever you want and nothing's going to happen to you. So that's the first thing. Secondly, you had the GSOC bugging affair. That investigation was established before the Guerin one, but hasn't reported. That's a bit odd. You had the penalty points issue, where Alan Shatter, as we all remember, stood on the plinth outside the Dáil, and I've said this in this programme and in Primetime and others, and berated the two whistleblowers, regardless of whether wrong or right, and basically accused them of wrongdoing. And then we had the charade that happened concerning the investigation by John O'Mahony into those issues. Subsequently, how that was shown to be, I mean, worthless. Now, John O'Mahony is the Assistant Garda Commissioner in charge of crime and security. He's in charge of our national security. It doesn't get much higher than that in Garda headquarters. Still no action whatsoever from the government in relation to this matter. Then you have the allegations made by Maurice McCabe concerning which is the subject of the Guerin report, which is are very specific allegations. Again, that was passed to Enda Kenny because Alan Shatter wasn't seen to be someone who could be trusted to deal with this. Now, it should be stated, at every point in this, Labour and Fine Gael have fully supported Alan Shatter, even when the facts were screaming from the rooftops. This is not a matter of the government or arranging investigations that have exposed weaknesses or flaws. The government done their damnedest to cover for this and cover up this type of activity and indeed suppress any information coming out in relation to it. So it's very important that people understand this.
So are you saying you don't buy that he's resigning over the Guerin report?
I'm very wary of everything that has been said in relation to these matters, for the simple reason is that the government has been playing ducks and drakes in regard to the truth of these matters for so long. I don't think they actually understand the truth or can decipher from the lies that have been told. For example, this letter, which is Alan Shatter's resignation letter, apparently on the basis of what's likely to emerge in the Guerin report, is very, very odd insofar that it comes across to me as a letter that was written almost after someone had been told that they have to go or else they'll be dismissed. Because the first thing it does is it drags in the Garda Ombudsman yet again, said that that it had not cooperated with the Guerin inquiry into these matters and hadn't furnished it with Sean Guerin with the papers relating to this matter. The most incredible thing about this is GSOC tonight have confirmed that that's the case, that they didn't actually provide Guerin with the documents in relation to this, citing privacy and other reasons. So you're into this kind of very, very odd sort of wordplay on this. I'm not sure. I think that I'll go back to a question that I've raised before. Martin Callanan resigned or retired, whatever word you want to use, a number of weeks ago for reasons that are unclear. Now Alan Shatter is after resigning again, or whether he was pushed for reasons that are very unclear. You know, if you the tone of this letter isn't one of abject apology to John Wilson or people like that. It's creating more question almost to what it answers. And I'd just be very, very cautious. There are matters going on in the background to these issues in Garda headquarters and in the Department of Justice and in the Department of Taoiseach that I don't think the public are aware of yet.
Susan and O'Keefe, what do you say to that? That there is perhaps more to this than meets the eye?
Well, in that regard, I have to say that John may know more than I do, and I genuinely don't. Of course, I am well aware of the other reports that are pending. Of course, I am, you know, well aware that if once you have an unsettling period of time, such as there has been here, and I don't think anyone would disagree with that, that there will be other matters that are being raised. But if John has something that he knows about, then John is the one that might say that. However, he has made one remark there when he's saying the government has done its best to cover up. I mean, you do find then, if you're going to cover up, you don't generally tend to organise and appoint senior counsel and ask them for
Susan, I really have to interject on that because the two investigations that were launched are just two of many that were launched into various allegations about wrongdoing at Garda headquarters. This is not a case that people were reporting matters to the Labour Party in Fine Gael and they were taking proactive action on it to prevent these issues from arising again. They were Fine Gael and Labour were dragged kicking and screaming into these issues and indeed did everything possible to usurp, for example, when the spying saga came out about GSOC, the Taoiseach himself misquoted legislation to undermine the independence of the Garda Ombudsman. Again, Alan Shatter, to put it kindly, gave a less than truthful account of what he'd been briefed on in the Dáil in terms of the penalty points issue. Again, Labour stood up and supported Alan Shatter when he stood on the plinth, demolishing the reputations of the Gardaí who had given that information. I could go on and on and on. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, Alan Shatter had received numerous reports highlighting the most serious corruption against Garda headquarters that had been found by not alone Garda investigations, but internal Garda inquiries mounted by the Garda Ombudsman, etc., and done absolutely nothing about these issues. And to say that the government somehow then came aware of this and decided to open up inquiries, that's simply not true. They ignored this, and it was only when this became an issue that refused to go away in the media, and it was effectively dominating public debate over a period of 6 or 7 weeks, that the government finally took action and decided to do this. I mean, in fairness to Maurice McCabe, the allegations that were investigated by Sean Gearan, these matters were referred into the Department of Justice prior to that, and nothing had ever happened with it.
Okay.
So I am very, very cautious about the accuracy and the honesty of information that's coming out from Enda Kenny and people like that, because they have been less than truthful in their pronunciations on this so far. And let's call a spade a spade. You know, to say that the government has jumped through hoops to keep the lids on various matters going on is an understatement. They've done quite the opposite.
Mick Clifford, John says Alan Shatter's resignation for him is quite puzzling, and he's not quite sure why he has resigned, and he's not quite sure if it's as straightforward as the Gearan report's findings. What's your understanding? Because Enda Kenny in the Dáil, in response to Micheál Martin, said that the report was critical of Malin Shatter's failure to address his statutory responsibility to hold an independent investigation into the dossier's allegations. Is that your understanding of why he resigned?
Yeah, well, my understanding, Audrey, is that the criticism of Alan Shatter in this report will not be devastating, to use that phrase, or anything, but there will be criticism. And if one was coming at this cold, if this was the first issue that arose from his Justice Minister in the political culture of not resigning that we have in this country, I could well see a scenario whereby he would have sailed through it. But the context in which it arises is even earlier this week, we saw more fallout from this general area when the Data Protection Commissioner made his ruling against Alan Shatter. Within the next week or two, we have the Cook report, which could be very critical of him, particularly in relation to this business of hiring a second security firm to give him a report that conflicted with the original one.
That's into the bugging
into
of
the bugging of GSOC. So I think it's the weight of everything coming down together as much as anything that probably did for him in terms of resigning. It would certainly look that Enda Kenny was at a point where he was no longer willing to take the political heat that was coming from Mr. Shatter. And once he read this report, he obviously saw as well, I mean, I think Alan Shatter referred to himself, the proximity to elections and what have you, and the game was up effectively. But as I say, I would be surprised if the actual criticism in the Gearan report of him was devastating, because the bulk of the report is directed towards the handling of these issues within An Garda Síochán.
Well, indeed, and not questioning Sean Gearan's report, but weren't those allegations not investigated by the DPP and by GSOC? Is it fair to say that Alan Shatter didn't order an independent investigation when there were some?
Yes, to a certain extent. Now, first of all, GSOC, and they've been referenced by Enda Kenny today and by Alan Shatter in a negative fashion in terms of how they investigated. Connor Brady, who was a Garda ombudsman, was in with Sean O'Rourke's programme there, oh, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, but he made the point, and this, independently, I understand this as well, that GSOC, it was not a question that GSOC didn't investigate some of these issues. It was that they went as far as they could and they didn't get cooperation, both in terms of claimants who didn't want to go up against the Gardaí in a formal manner like this, and from individual Gardaí. So GSOC attempted to investigate them, is my understanding, but it was stymied at every turn. In terms of the DPP, well, a file goes to the DPP and the DPP is entirely has to base his or her considerations on what's in that file. The major question is who compiles the file. And this is back again to the heart of this whole matter, and that is internal investigations within the Gardaí, and quite frankly, in a lot of instances, they're not worth the paper they're written on.
John Wilson. John, you're very welcome. You're retired Garda and one of the Garda whistleblowers. You weren't interviewed by Sean Gearan. Your allegations had nothing to do with this investigation, did they?
No, Mr. Gearan examined the substantive allegations that Sergeant McCabe had made, resulting from his time as Sergeant in charge of the Bailiwick Garda District. And can I just reiterate what Mick said earlier there in relation to the DPP? The DPP can only decide on foot of the information that is put before him or her. Now, in relation to Mr. Shatter's sacking or resignation today, I think, you know, we now have an opportunity, you know, and hopefully his resignation will lead to a new era of accountability and transparency in our great country.
Were you surprised by his resignation?
Well, as recently as yesterday, he had the full support of the Taoiseach, to the best of my knowledge. And, you know, we don't do resignations in this country. And it's amazing that the Garda Commissioner, and it must be something in the water, Audrey, but the Garda Commissioner and the Minister for Justice have, you know, resigning in the same, you know, within a couple of months of each other. Maybe I'm a keen observer of what transpires across the water, you know, in Great Britain and in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. And they do resignations and they appear to have much higher standards than we have in this country. And accountability and transparency in this country are very much alien concepts. But I hope, I mean, you know, maybe we're witnessing the beginning of a new era.
Do you take any degree of satisfaction that Alan Shatter is gone, given everything that has gone on?
I just want to reiterate, as I stated when Commissioner Callanan resigned, I personally take no pleasure in the demise of any human being. And I mean that sincerely. And I'm very cognizant of the fact that Mr. Shatter has a family, and they are obviously suffering tonight as well. But having said that, he had become, you know, he was a liability to the government, and his position had become untenable. I mean, both himself and Commissioner Callanan were joined at the hip. And I mean, as I've stated all along, united they stand, united they must fall.
Sean Fleming of Fianna Fáil, what's your reaction to all of this?
Well, I didn't know, or none of us knew today, that this was going to happen. But I've actually said for several weeks now, I always judge people in politics by their actions, not by what they say. And I've said on numerous occasions in recent weeks that the Taoiseach had demonstrated by his actions that he had lost confidence in Alan Shatter. I'll give you three examples over several weeks. One, he forced him to apologise about the Mahenry report into the penalty points issue with John and Sergeant McCabe. Secondly, he didn't involve him. He kept him out of the loop on the sacking or the getting rid of the Garda Commissioner for quite a period. And thirdly, when Micheál Martin gave him the file from Sergeant McCabe that he got on the 20th of February, he insisted in the Dáil that a report be presented to him as Taoiseach, again for the third time bypassing. Now, what I find strange in all of this is I believe the Taoiseach had lost confidence in Alan Shatter several weeks ago, and those actions prove that. What puzzles me is how, on the 2nd of April, just 4 weeks ago, the Taoiseach and the entire government, Labour and Fine Gael, voted confidence in the same Alan Shatter. Now, I kind of give the Labour Party a bit of a fool's pardon on this. They probably accepted what the Taoiseach was saying, and Susan O'Keefe was kind of saying, she almost said they were happy to turn the blind eye to some of these issues once they got the issues that they wanted dealt with. And that was extraordinary. There was that bit of a tone in the Labour Party's support for Alan Shatter. Now moving on to the Taoiseach himself. First of all, in relation to the sacking, personally, I'm sad for the man, but I do believe that letter of resignation, which John has mentioned here and we've all seen, was a truculent letter. His attitude yesterday to the Data Commissioner's report saying where he broke the law was truculent. And I think the Taoiseach has seen he is a truculent minister. Now, I actually think the Taoiseach has been cowardly for the last month. He knew he wanted him to go. When Micheál Martin gave him the file, the Taoiseach looked at that file. The Taoiseach said several weeks ago it was very grave, and the Taoiseach knew in that file there was a transcript which showed that the confidential recipient had said in the interview, in the taped interview with Sergeant McCabe, that the minister was fully aware of everything in that file at that point. The Taoiseach had enough at that point, several weeks ago on the 20th of February or the week after, to ask for the minister's resignation. But he hadn't the courage to do that. And he does what happens in business. He outsourced it to a consultant. So he asked Sean Gearan, senior counsel, to look at the file. Tell me what I know is in the file. You put your name to it and I can hand it to the minister and say, what can I do? You have to go. So I actually think the Taoiseach voted confidence. And I think especially the Taoiseach, and maybe no other member of the government parties, were aware of what was in that file to the extent the Taoiseach was. And the Taoiseach was happy to vote confident, knowing he couldn't have, because there's not much more, I'm sure, in this report than what was in the original file as presented by Sergeant McCabe. The Taoiseach knew the import of that on the 20th of February, yet he voted confidence in it. So the Taoiseach was cowardly, but he knew the day was coming and he knew he needed Sean Gearan to do the dirty work.
John Wilson.
Yeah, but going back to the 20th of February of this year when the Taoiseach became aware of these shocking allegations, anybody looking at Andy Kenny's demeanour on that date will have been struck by his... I mean, he genuinely looked shocked after he received the information of the dossier from Micheál Martin. But, I mean, it has to be remembered that since 2008, Sergeant McCabe attempted to have these most serious allegations dealt with within an Garda Síochána, and he was obstructed at every turn. The man, he was obstructed by Garda management at every turn. He'd done everything correctly and he'd done everything properly. I mean, the public will never truly know. I mean, Clifford is a fair idea, but the public will never truly know what that man has suffered over the last 6 years.
The big issue, I think John has a point there. Somebody close to Maurice McCabe, basically, when this went to Sean Gearan, I think he didn't care what happened after that. As far as he was concerned, he'd won. His objective was to ensure that somebody outside the force would investigate these claims and allegations. He had confidence that what he was doing was perfectly right. His big issue was he had been obstructed at every turn when he tried to get him investigated within the force and even when they came through the Department of Justice. And it would seem that Mr. Shatter's big problem was he accepted the Garda Commissioner's position on all these matters and he didn't veer for it thereafter. His own personality kicked in terms of his confidence in his own ability and his failure to listen to other people, but he accepted that, and from then on that was the line that he followed all the time along with it. And that ultimately is what has done for him. And at the heart of it is a relationship, and I'm sure it was a professional relationship, I don't know what the men are like personally, that he had built up with the Garda Commissioner. Remember, Alan Shatter was Minister for Justice at a hugely difficult time for the Gardaí, the cutbacks that were there and everything. 140 rural stations were closed. Morale was on the floor. Through a lot of that, Martin Callanan took the heat for him. In terms of the closing of the Garda stations, you know, Alan Shatter often referred, it's the Commissioner decided which stations to go. And Martin Callan took the heat for a lot of that. Then along comes this issue with whistleblowers who are discommoding senior management. Senior management have a position on it that is hostile towards them. Alan Shatter, as perhaps a lot of people might in the situation, thinks, well, this guy's stuck by me. Maybe he's right here. I can't see how he's wrong. And he went along. And thereafter, as I say, it was a question of once that man was on a road, his characteristics are such that he wasn't going to veer from it.
But Mick, it's more complicated than that, because Alan Shatter was receiving reports from the Garda Ombudsman, which were saying, implicating Martin Callan in all sorts of fun and games with intelligence matters and collusion and that sort of stuff. And he knew when he was dealing with a lot of these issues that he had read, he'd been furnished with a special report which was given to the government, that because it was deemed to be so important. So there were issues on Alan Shatter's desk that left no room for the imagination that there was a problem with senior Garda management. And that's...
I accept that, John, but the point is that may well be the case. I'm not aware of those reports in relation to Boylan. I understand.
Well, I am.
Enough. The point I'm making is, irrespective of that, he took a particular position in relation to the whistleblowers. And
no,
he went along with Martin Callan's...
No, except that. But what I suppose the point that I'm trying to emphasise is that he knew there was issues concerning what he would be told by Garda headquarters, that there were problems there.
John, we'll come back to this. I just want to interrupt because we're joined for a few minutes by the Minister for Communications, Energy and Natural Resources, Pat Rabbitt, who's on the line. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme. It's a question I suppose I put to Susan O'Keefe at the start of the programme. Given everything that has happened and Labour's consistent support for Alan Shatter, does it expose your party's lack of credibility now?
Well, of all the questions you were going to ask me, I didn't think it was that one. I don't even follow the question. As far as I'm concerned, and I'm somebody who worked particularly closely for some reasons with Alan Shatter, and I believe this is not very popular. But in fact, he was a very creative minister. He was a very hard-working minister. He was a very reforming and progressive minister. And he had a huge appetite for work and a legislative record second to nobody in the whole. And, I haven't changed my view on that, and I won't change my view on that. And I will be very, very interested to see where these inquiries end up. And I hope the former minister will give evidence. He didn't get the opportunity, apparently, to give evidence to Mr. Geirn. But I'd be very interested to hear, now that he's out of office, why this extraordinary series of events happened. My memory is that he told me, and he told the House subsequently, that he sought to have these matters inquired into when they came into his possession first, and he was assured by the then commissioner that 11 out of the 12 of them had indeed been thoroughly investigated.
But doesn't that seem to be at the nub of the problem as far as Sean Geirn is concerned?
It does, yeah. It does, mm. It does, yeah. And I don't understand... He didn't have the same opportunity that I had in meeting Maurice McCabe and assessing him for oneself. Maurice McCabe came to me first, way back in 2007 or 2008. I honestly can't remember. He came to me in confidence at the time. And I formed the view then that Maurice McCabe was an upstanding member of the Garda Síochána, trying to do his best by his lights and finding it difficult. And it was the difficulties that he brought to my attention in confidence that ironically led him to be transferred out of the Ballyconnell, I think it was, from memory.
Ballyburgh.
To Ballyburgh, I beg your pardon, to the traffic section.
Okay.
And it was remarkable that, in my view, he should have been transferred, because he was the one who was trying to clean up certain things, and it would appear that his superiors, instead of supporting him, caused him to be transferred. But I had that opportunity to meet with Maurice McCabe directly and form a view on him, it would appear that Alan Shatter took a view of Maurice McCabe from what he was being told from the Phoenix Park.
Do you have no regrets about supporting Alan Shatter and endorsing him?
None at all, and I don't even want to follow that kind of, you know, you're one of the more intelligent broadcasters mediating programmes in in Irish broadcasting, and silly games about how does this reflect on the Labour Party or whatever has nothing got to do with this. This was a Minister for Justice who was in the middle of, I think, establishing his reputation as one of the more formidable ministers that we've seen in that portfolio since 1922. He clearly made mistakes, mistaken judgments, based on the facts that we now know. And I regret very much that he made them, because he was a very important force around the cabinet table. And as I say, I had the opportunity, or was required, to work closely with him on some things. And I know exactly what he gave it and what he put into it. And he made these judgments. Only he can explain why he made them. You know, I expressed the view even publicly that he ought to have dealt with the whistleblower thing and put the record of the fall straight much more quickly than he did. But he was obviously taking advice, and he must have believed that that advice was unimpeachable.
Minister, John Mooney just wants to put a point to you.
I'm just curious, Pat, when I dealt with you as an opposition spokesman, you raised various issues that subsequently came to land on Alan Shatter's desk, such as the Boylan affair. I remember you standing up in the Dáil, giving out to Dermot Ahern, saying how could they let someone who traffics poison into the state get away with such matters. You spoke there about Maurice McCabe going back to 2007-2008, the allegations made about Bailieborough. But I am somewhat confused. When you saw, and you said, you said he made mistakes, what did you and other members of Cabinet do when you saw these mistakes being made? Like, for example, on the Boylan thing, there was nothing happened as a result of that. You saw the Taoiseach misquote legislation concerning GSOC's responsibility to account to the Taoiseach and the Justice Department in terms of the spying allegations, etc. Like, what did you do and what did the Labour Party do when they saw these sort of matters unfolding? Because this didn't happen in the case space of a week or two. This happened over a protracted period of time. It was pretty well documented in the media. I'm just curious to know what is your position on that now, given your very forthright positions?
They happened over a very protracted period, John, as you say. I mean, the Boylan case was many years ago in terms of the remarks and questioning that you ascribed to me that I did indeed pursue with the then Minister for Justice in the House. But in terms of the operation of government, you know, we've had a number of ministers for justice. You do not intrude into the affairs. It's one department, incidentally, that you especially don't intrude into, because you presume that they are in possession of facts and information that you weren't in possession of. And certainly, I suppose the only reason that I would be sceptical about a letter from the Garda Commissioner saying that 11 of 12 matters had been investigated was because I had the opportunity of directly meeting Maurice McCabe. I think that most people, if they were Minister for Justice, and they gave a very serious file on what seemed to be grave issues on the face of it to the Garda Commissioner, and you got a written and presumably verbal briefing to the effect that, well, it's not quite like that. We've investigated these matters thoroughly, and the following is what we found, and you can look at the files for yourself. You presume that the inquiries were carried out properly, and I think the Irish people are entitled to presume that when at the highest level of the Garda Síochána, that matters like these of this gravity are investigated, that the conclusions are more or less right. It would appear, we don't know yet, I haven't seen this report, I don't know what's in Friday's report, I haven't got a copy of it yet, but you know, I certainly don't just look forward to reading that, but to seeing what emerges at the subsequent Commission of Inquiry.
Okay, Mick Clifford.
Pat, just, I mean, as you said yourself, you met Maurice McCabe a number of years ago and you found him to be an upstanding guard. When this arose and controversy started to engulf the minister, did you not say to him, you know, Mr. Shatter, whomever you might address him, would you not have a chat with Maurice McCabe?
I did, and I said it publicly after that, going back way into February or whenever it was. I said it publicly on more than one occasion.
But did you not advise him to tread in a particular way, or even to meet Sergeant McCabe?
You know, the way government operates, Michael, I don't go around advising my colleague ministers how to do their job.
No, but it's a question of perhaps if he hadn't met this individual and that you actually had a direct line to him. Just it would seem, under the circumstances, when it became quite obviously an issue that the minister had taken a particular line on this Garda and he had not met him personally, for example, and you had, that perhaps he might have welcomed some input in that regard.
Well, I think I presumed that, you know, when the matters were investigated, I presumed that they had indeed been investigated. You know, and it's a matter of some concern that from the highest level these matters would be cleared. I'm sure this has been thrashed out tonight. I haven't been able to watch it. But, I mean, I did see that woman, taxi driver, on television there some weeks ago.
The
case is beyond Mary Lynch, that's correct. The case on the face of it seems to be beyond belief. And how it could have been bracketed as a minor assault, and how she could have been misled about when her case was coming up, deliberately it would appear, so that she didn't appear in court, is beyond me. And anybody concerned about the administration of justice would have to be concerned about that. I didn't know about Mary Lynch's existence.
Okay.
Minister, can I ask you a question? Do you know why Martin Callanan resigned or whether he was sacked? Because no one else seems to do.
My understanding is that the information that came into the possession of the Taoiseach was so grave that following discussions that he had with key players in the drama, he dispatched the Secretary General of the Department of Justice to talk to the Commissioner about the import of what was put into his possession. I don't know what transpired between the two men.
And do you still believe that? Do you still believe that account, Minister?
I beg your pardon.
Do you still believe that account?
I don't know what transpired. There was only two men involved in it. I don't know what transpired. But the next morning, the Garda Commissioner resigned or retired prematurely, whichever resigned, it seems to me, and so on. Now, what transpired between them, I don't know. It is clear that the information that the Secretary General had in his possession was information that was, I can't imagine anything of being of more significance than what is alleged in respect of a case that is soon going to come to action in the courts. Mm.
Do you accept that, given what we've been talking about tonight, the dossier in relation to Maurice McCabe, GSOC, the resignation or retirement or sacking of Martin Callanan, that we are at a very serious and defining point in this country with regard to Garda accountability?
I do. And that's why I believe the Garda Authority is such an important step. I'm a member of the Cabinet Committee that will oversee its implementation. I believe it's overdue. I believe it is hugely important that there is such an authority interposed between the Minister and the Garda Síochána. I think it's very important that rank-and-file Garda Síochána have direct access to GSOC to bring forward complaints. I believe, and I said at the time, and I said subsequently, and have been consistent on it, that the concept or structure of a confidential recipient was a nonsense. I'm not referring to any of the persons who occupied the post, but I had direct experience of trying to find the confidential recipient, and I had never heard such nonsense in my life as expecting a rank-and-file Gorda who had matters of some gravity to complain or report or misconduct to expect that he would arrive at the door of the Department of Justice and query where was the confidential recipient and could he go to see him. It's a contradiction in terms. And therefore, the package of reforms about which we met only a couple of weeks ago with the Minister for Justice, the Taoiseach, and myself, is going to change all of that. It's probably 20 years. It should have happened 20 years ago. But it's going to happen now, and I think that is a very important outcome of this entire controversy.
OK. John Wilson.
Yes, well, the Mary Lynch case on its own warrants a tribunal of inquiry. I mean, she was brutally attacked. The woman is lucky to be alive. And she was attacked by the psychopath Jerry McGrath, who went on to murder Sylvia Roach Kelly. But in relation to the minister's comments about GSOC, and rank-and-file members of the Garda Síochána being able to bring their concerns about Garda malpractice to GSOC. GSOC, I mean, that'll only work if GSOC is made truly independent. At present, there are serving members of the Garda Síochána attached to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission. They don't have access to Pulse. And as long as you have serving members of the Garda Síochána attached to GSOC, it can never be and will never be truly independent.
Minister, before we let you go, do you have any preference for who succeeds Alan Shatter?
I suppose I do, but I'm not going to tell you. a Fine Gael minister has resigned and I presume will be replaced by a Fine Gael deputy or transfer of another minister. I really have no knowledge about it, Audrey. It's a matter for the Taoiseach.
OK, well, look, we appreciate you taking our call tonight. Thank you very much indeed. That's Minister Pat Rabbitt there. We've only a few minutes left on the programme. John, do you get a sense that perhaps now Alan Shatter's gone, Martin Callanan's gone, could this be the start of something new in relation to policing?
No,
you're smiling.
Well, I am, because I was a witness at the Morris Tribunal and I've dealt with Garda corruption issues back to 95 and nothing ever happens. It's a cyclical event. I think there's more problems within the Guards now, and I'm saying that as someone who has a lot of friends and associates in the Guards and have relied on them for security and other matters. There are problems within the Guards and with petty corruption, officers working for drug dealers, that kind of thing. It's been going on for a long time. Even dissident paramilitaries, these people have connections in divorce now. And there are cabals in the Guards that can get away with literally blue murder. And I've never seen anyone deal with that issue. In point of fact, the people in Ciarán Boylan, they're still in high-ranking positions in the Guards.
I'd say a couple of... A lot depends, actually, on the Taoiseach. I think there's far more in the Taoiseach's hands here than people appreciate. All the issues have come to the Taoiseach as if the Department of Justice hasn't been functioning at senior level. And just today, the listeners won't know this, we voted €2 million through the Dáil today in a supplementary estimate at the request of an Taoiseach to set up the Commission of Investigation into the Garda telephone recordings that happened in the various stations under Mr. Fenley. So, here's another Commission of Investigation. We now have the result of the Geerán report, another Commission of Investigation. Meanwhile, a Garda Commissioner under current legislation is not answerable to Garda Commission, the Ombudsman's Office, the GSOC. So there are several changes that need to be done here. And it's very important for the rank and file Gardaí, because while all this is going on, it's damaging morale within the Gardaí, which is not fair to the people who are out there tonight looking after you and I. And I think the Taoiseach the last year has undermined the administration of justice to a lot of extent. And a lot of it actually is not just Alan Shatter. A lot of it has actually fallen back to the Taoiseach.
Mick.
Yeah, I mean, there was supposed to be a new dawn with the O5 Act that came out of Morris, that obviously we've seen all the shortcomings in that, and that goes to the heart of a lot of the problems at the moment. There is proportionally a large number of young Gardaí there who would be open to change. If you have a proper policing board, and the caveat is that it is a proper policing board in terms of independence, in terms of the type of people that go on it, and Noreen O'Sullivan, the acting commissioner, I think she's a fine record and I'm sure she'd make a fine commissioner. However, I think it would be important that you need to bring in somebody from the outside at the head of the force to have some chance. The type of things that arrive, you'll have in most police forces, they're writ far larger under the type of structures allied to the type of wider society we have in this country in the Gardaí.
OK, well, look, thank you all very much indeed for coming in to be part of our discussion tonight. Thanks to John Mooney, to Mick Clifford, to John Wilson, to Sean Fleming, to Susan O'Keefe and to Minister Pat Rabbitt. No doubt we'll be discussing this again on the programme tomorrow night. Join us then if you can, 10 o'clock, the usual time. Until then, from all the team, good night.
The Late Debate, presented by Audrey Carville, was produced by Donal O'Herlihy. The broadcast coordinator was Maeve Mooney. The researcher is Richie Byrne, and sound supervision tonight was by Gar Duffy.